Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. We give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight, and it's so good to see our brother Stephen with us back home. And the Lord bless you, brother, and Stephen's assistant pastor in Brother Ron Peterson's church in America. And it's so nice to see him with us this evening. And if I forget, brother, in case I do forget, because I probably will, but everything in your head, and then after the service you forget about it, please give a greetings back to Brother Ron when you get back home again. But it's good to see you, brother. The Lord's good, isn't it? Praise God. And just want to thank Laurie as well. I forgot to say it on Sunday, but when I was away in Australia, my wife sent me a message to say Laurie had prayed over and told her you're going to get a house. And when we came back and rang about the house was available. So we got the house, brother. God's good, isn't it? But Brother Larry believed it, and he spoke it, and the Lord done it. Amen. You know, it was Ron Peterson told a story once. I don't know if Stephen's ever heard this, but when Ron Peterson first was called to be a pastor in one of the places he came to America at the start, and he hired a car out, and he had quite a sum of money with him that had been given as a gift, and he's with Brother Parry Green, and he lost the money, and he didn't know what he's going to do about this money, and Parry Green put him over everywhere where he was, where he had this money, and they looked everywhere, they thought where this money was. And Parry Green told them, where, if you believe it to be somewhere, it'll be there. Amen. And he told a story about someone his mother-in-law lost. And he told her to go and where to go and look for it, behind a cabinet or something. She went and found it. Now she thought after that, whatever Parry Green said, that was it. But she believed it. But Parry Green told Brother Ron to believe it to be somewhere and to go and look for it. So they believed it and prayed that it would be in the pocket of the car. And they went back to the car and opened the pocket and it was in it. That's what God's able to do if you believe it. Speak those things that are not as though they were. Paul the Apostle actually said that. When you're praying, speak those things that are not as though they were. Praise God. Also, I'll tell you, I was impressed. Isaac here went to give his testimony on Sunday night. I saw a clip of it. I've showed it to a few other people as well. I tell you, this young lad's a preacher in the making. And I'm not just saying that. He spoke well, I'm telling you now. He gave a clear testimony. And he wasn't afraid to mention a hell. There's a lot of people don't mention a hell when they're preaching. But Isaac mentioned hell. And I'll tell you, it was good, brother. And he's going to share his testimony here on Sunday night. So tell everybody about it. Get every you can to come and hear Isaac's testimony. And I said to him, is Isaac 12? We were asked thinking he's just about 12 years of age. 12 years of age. But you know, there's people's been preaching from their young. Stephen Shelley started preaching when he's 7. Brother Branham talks about wee David. David started preaching when he was really young. And he had a powerful ministry. There's lots of people who started preaching when they're really, really young. And the Lord used them. So, brother, the Lord's definitely gifted you. I'm telling you that right now. So you need to be on the lookout. I'm telling you. And keep seeking the Lord and keeping close to the Lord. And you don't know what God can do. And that's what we want. We want to see young people coming up. You know, when I first met my father-in-law and everything, and people 30 years ago almost, they thought, it's over. They'll not last another round. But we're still here. And we need to keep on farming, keep on sowing, keep on planting, keep on getting married, young people and all, and everything like that. And we keep on going till the Lord comes. But we need to live every day like he's coming today. That's the secret, isn't it? Praise God. And I didn't know Stephen was coming tonight. But last week we had a preacher here as well, and I didn't know he was coming either. Keith Mockison. And Brother Keith's really went through a hard time of lately, you know, with losing his wife and everything. And me and him's bosom pals from a long time back. And his grandfather went to hear a man preach many years ago near Dromore. And he actually went, first of all, to take people from the meeting. He went to wreck the meeting. But he got saved. And not only did he get saved, he had cancer on his face. He had a growing cancer on his face, and he came home and he took a hanky out and he took the cancer off his face, and the Lord healed him on the spot. That's what happened when he went to one Pentecostal meeting. That was in the Milltown many years ago. It wasn't even a church then. They had it in the field somewhere. I'm sure Brother John maybe knows even more about it than myself, but Lila told me about it one night, maybe Keith as well. But praise God. The Lord bless each one tonight. Let's turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 9. I want to read a few verses tonight. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to 22. And our brother John will be preaching Sunday morning. And then we're going to have a testimony Sunday evening. And I'll share a bit Sunday evening. And now I'm saying that, but I want Isaac to take his liberty, whatever the Lord leads him. And I don't want to put him under any pressure either. I just want him to be himself, whatever the Lord leads him. Let's stand our feet while we read this, verse 15 of Numbers 9. And on that day the tabernacle was reared up. The cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was alway. The cloud covered it by day, on the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents at the commandment of the Lord. And the children of Israel journeyed at the commandment of the Lord. They pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode even in the morning, unto the morning, and the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord this evening. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that name tonight that is above every other name. Neither is there salvation in any other name, only the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. We plead your blood over this service and over everyone in it. We ask for the Holy Ghost to be in this room. We invite the Holy Spirit to come. We pray, Lord, that you'll move in every heart and every life tonight. I pray for the hand raised, minister to each one through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Bless our brother Stephen, we pray. Give him a good time while he's here, Lord Jesus. Bless his family in the name of Jesus. Pray for young Isaac. Lord, I pray you'll bless him. And oh God, even the testimony that he's already given, Lord, that you may use it to your glory. Strengthen him, oh God. Visit him. Visit him by the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord. Visit every one of us tonight with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I take the Holy Spirit to help me right now. And I thank you that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, we had a special singer here on Sunday night as well. Brother Ewell and Brother Jordy was out preaching on Saturday in the streets. And unknown to them, there's a fella that was taking his son up to a shop. And that fella that was taking his son up was praying. And he was praying, "Lord, let me do something for you." And Yule spotted him, and Geordie knew him. And Geordie said, "Tell him, Yule, why did you sing for the Lord?" And so he did. And her brother Yule was surprised because that boy can sing. He's a gypsy man. He only went to school 12 days in his whole life. He's a brother of 21 there was of them. 21 of them. But whoever was here on Sunday night can tell you he sung really well Sunday night. And he might come back again, you wouldn't know. The Lord could bring him out of where he's in. And he might have to come here. You won't know. Maybe we'll send the Holy Ghost after him to get him out of there. Amen. No point in him. He's a bit more light here. He might as well come out of there and into here. Amen. That's the truth. And some of you are not amen, but I believe it anyhow. Praise God. Amen. Come out from amongst them. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? We're living in the last days. We need to come out for the light shining. Here are these children of Israel. They never moved. And the cloud didn't move. They waited on the movement of the cloud. I tell you, there's some lesson in this portion tonight. Many times we want to go here and go there. And even myself, you can get many invitations, many things, and many poles left, right, every road. But you have to know from the Lord. And unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you, unless the Holy Spirit leads you, if you're not sure about what to do, don't do anything. That's my advice. After preaching over 30 years, don't do a thing. And if God wants you to know, he'll make you know. And the Bible says he'll establish his truth by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every time God will establish his truth, he'll make you to know. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night led them. My, I can tell you, when you even study through this in the Bible, and you know that the fire that led them blinded their enemies. So it was light to the one group, but darkness to the other group. That's a bit like the day. You know, the prophet of God said in the end time that the real true message will blind some, but it'll be light to others. And we know Zechariah tells us it shall be light at the evening time. And we are living in at the evening time, and there's light. Numbers tells us how God's people traveled from Mount Sinai to the border of the promised land. But when they refused to take the possession of the land, a 40-day journey became 40 years. They wandered for 40 years on a journey that should have took 40 days. And you know, there's so many things you could say about why they didn't do it in 40 days and it took 40 years. But then when you study it, you can see God's provision. Now, they should have done it in 40 days, but they took 40 years. But in the 40 years, the shoes never wasted on their feet and the clothes never waxed old upon their bodies. The Lord preserved them for 40 years. And the Bible says, you know, when they come out of Egypt, there wasn't one feeble one amongst them. And you know, they carried the bones of God's servant up out of Egypt. How many knows that? Because he told them to take them out of there to the promised land. And they carried his bones up out. They refused to take possession of the land. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. And the wilderness journey, the pillar of cloud and the fire was a central figure guiding the Israelites. The central figure was the cloud and the pillar of fire. And our central figure of the day has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Word. He's John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He must be the center figure. We don't come to worship any man or meet any particular fancy person or building or anything like that. We come to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a center. And they had something that was a center of their attention, and they couldn't move without it. If they did, it was no good. They couldn't move without it. We know the pillar of cloud and the fire manifested before Israel crossed the Red Sea during the time the Hebrew people escaped Egypt. The Lord already appeared to them in the journey on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord appeared to them on that journey supernaturally. They had a supernatural visitation before they ever started. We know God met up with Moses up there and he sent him down with the word. Our brother Larry preached about Moses on Sunday a little bit, how that he said he can't talk right and all them things. And God said, "I'll put the words in your mouth." And then God said to him, you'll be God to the people and Aaron will be your prophet. How many knows the Bible says that? And Aaron was God's spokesman. Praise God. Exodus 13, 21 to 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So even if God wanted them to travel at night, it wasn't really night for them because they had light. They had light. I want you to get that. That's important you get that. They never were in darkness because when it was daytime, but they'd still the cloud. And when it was nighttime, then that supernatural fire, they'd still a supernatural light. And I tell you, all of us were once in darkness, but we've now come into the marvelous light. And we're no more in darkness, we're in light. We're lit up. Did you realize that? People used to joke about years ago, saw the light, but the Bible talks about the light. And it talks about your spirit getting lit. And we're lit up tonight by the light. Praise God. And these people here, there was light. It was a visible reminder of the Hebrews to see that God was with them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud and fire has always been with them. And Exodus had led and journeyed with them right through the whole of the wilderness. Exodus 40, look at verse 36 to 38. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. If the cloud didn't move, they didn't move. Amen? They needed the cloud to move. You know, when God's disciples first started out, after Jesus went back to heaven, not one of them went preaching until they got the Holy Ghost. How many knows that's the Bible? They waited in the upper room until they got the Holy Ghost. And when they got the Holy Spirit, they went forth. I'm amazed at all the time because I've met a lot of people recently, Polish people. And you hear Polish people and you will not know what they're talking about. But you think of it, when the power of God came on them the day of Pentecost, they preached to every man in his own tongue wherein he is born. Amen. It's a real miracle. That's what the power of God can do. I tell you, you know, God can do that. God can still do that. It's wonderful when somebody talks in another language and God lets you hear it in English. It's really something I know by experience what I'm preaching about. And it's really something. And it's even something else when you tell them and they don't believe it. And then they say to you, tell me what was said then. And then when you tell them what was said and they fall down and weep. And they cry because they know every bit of it's the truth. That's the power of God. I tell you, God that gives supernatural languages then can do it again. He can do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's one big mistake that's wrong now. The gifts have been set to the side. But you know, a prophet of God said, God never takes away, he adds to. He doesn't take away, he adds to. And I tell you, if we ever needed adding to, we need adding to now. With the power of God and the gifts of God. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. So while they traveled, this was with them. And we need the Holy Spirit with us. While we don't just want some name. A lot of people talk about, I believe in the presence. I believe in the presence. That's a doctrine. Now, it's all right to say you believe in something, but God wants us actually to have it. It's like saying, I believe in being saved. But if you're not saved, you're still lost. Though you could say, I believe in being saved. And you could say, I believe in the presence. But if you've never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't know about the presence. But when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know about the presence. The presence of the Holy Ghost. From the moment they left Egypt to the right to the Red Sea, through the cross of the Red Sea, the wilderness journey, God was with them in plain sight. I tell you, that's something, isn't it, that God was with them in plain sight. Why is the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire so important? It is important. It's so important. What are the significant implications of the pillar of fire in Numbers here? And what is, these are questions I'm posing tonight. And what's in it for you as a believer today, especially we no longer, you know, people say, well, we don't see the pillar of fire of the day. Now, you know that William Branham, a prophet of God, made a powerful statement. He said that we've seen the pillar of fire return again after 2,000 years. What he was saying was from the times of Paul the Apostle, it's been seen again. And people have saw the pillar of fire. People have saw it. Now, you might never have seen the pillar of fire, but the pillar of fire is real. And God could let you see it. If he wanted you to see it, God could let you see the pillar of fire. And you know, on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire come on them. And you know how John the Baptist identified Jesus? Because he saw the cloud like a dove, the Holy Spirit coming on him. And the voice said to him, on whom you see the Spirit remaining, this is the one. Amen. Now, why is it so important for the pillar of fire? The pillar of cloud, the fire, it's the presence of God in the midst of his people, that's why. It's a sign of the presence of God in the midst of his people. And we need the Lord to be in our midst, not just in a doctrine, but in reality. We can talk about it, we can believe it and say it. It's like people say, I believe and been saved, but if they're not, Wesley wasn't saved when he preached. But he got saved. He got saved. We need what we're talking about. Amen? We need the very thing what we're talking about. And you know, the people that traveled with Moses and these people, and I know I'm jumping ahead of it, but all the people that were originally with Moses experienced these things. But after Moses went, there was people born that never saw these things and never experienced these things. And there had to come a time when they were circumcised. And circumcision then is today a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's like we talk about Brother Branham. Back then there was men with them that had the power of God, that had the Holy Spirit. But we've passed a long time since then. And we need the power of God today. We need the same Holy Spirit he had. And that the man with him had. You know, a man that they don't talk about much was the pastor from the tabernacle back there. Orman Neville. And Orman Neville had a powerful gift. You never hear much talk about it. But Orman Neville had a powerful gift. I can tell you that. And he was treated very badly, I'll tell you that, by that man of the Holy Ghost. And there were so many men back then that had the Holy Spirit, but the years have passed, just like it did here with Moses. But they had to have their own experience. And it's just like being saved. Your mom can be saved, your dad can be saved, but every individual needs to be saved. And every individual needs their own Holy Spirit. The own baptism of the Holy Ghost. No one else will do for you. You have to get your own baptism. Numbers 9, verse 15, and on the day the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And in the evening there was upon the tabernacle that were the appearance of fire until the morning. The fire of God. You don't hear much preaching today about the fire of God, but there is the real fire of God. The real fire of God. And I tell you, the fire of God is real. And you don't need it. It's not some history thing that used to be, but you can have the fire of God today. Because Jesus is still the same, Hebrews 13 and 8. The word cloud is the manifestation of God's holy presence. And you see that in Mount Sinai. This phenomenon is called, you could say it's a theophany. You know, God came down to Moses. And not only did God come down to Moses veiled in a pillar of fire, he came to Job veiled in a whirlwind. How many knows that? Then he came down to Abraham at the tent door in a theophanic form called Melchizedek. God can do that. He can change his mask, his form. He can come on the scene. He can appear at any time. And when God does appear, and when God does do something, it's not for no reason. There's a purpose in it. It has a scriptural voice. A scriptural sign will have the scriptural voice. And it's for a reason and for a purpose. The principle here is where God's people are. God's presence is there. If the Lord's really in us, then the Lord's here. Because the Bible said, for two or three met together in his name, he is in the midst, and not to bless us. We often pray, Lord, will you come? But, you know, Rock used to complain about that when we prayed like that. I'll tell you that right now. He told me one night, he says, you need to stop praying like that. He said, why would you ask somebody to come somewhere when they're there? Now, you know how he was. Brother knows he's laughing, but he used to complain about that. He said, the Lord's already there. Why would you ask him to come if he's already there? But you know you can get more of it.
Yes.
More of it. I tell you, it's like the water on the ankles. But, brother, you can go on in and swim in it if you want. Not still water when it's on your ankles. But you can go right on in. And that's scripture. The Bible talks about it. And I want to go right in and swim in it. And bathe in it. And soak in it. Amen. But I believe the Lord knows what we're praying when we say, Lord, will you come more? Lord, will you come and move? How many believes God knows what we're talking about? And I tell you, you know when God's in a meeting and you know when he's not in one. Isn't that the truth? And I tell you, may the Lord help us. Matthew 18, verse 20, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we're really born again and we're gathering in the name of the Lord. The Lord's in the midst of them. Now you know God's chosen place of worship. Where is it? Where he put his name. Now where did God put his name? He didn't put his name in any denomination or in a lodge or in a movement. He put his name in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he put his name. That is the Father's name, by the way. That's his name. And when we're gathered in that name, he's in the midst. There's salvation in that name. There's healing in the name. There's everything in that name. And when you get baptized, Acts 2:38, you take the name.
Hallelujah.
You take the name.
Yes.
And that's why you're part of him. Because you take the name. And when you take the name, someone comes with the name. If someone comes with a name, there's an inheritance that comes with a name. An inheritance. Because once you take the name, you have a right to use the name. Just like the checkbook, if your name's on the checkbook, you have a right to use that checkbook and fill in what you want, and then you can go and get it cash because your name's on it. And you've took his name, and you have a right to the name. That's why Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick. In the name of Jesus Christ, they shall recover. James says, call the elders of church, anoint with oil, the prayer of faith will save them. In the name of Jesus Christ. You've got something in the name. There's an inheritance in the name. And there's a presence with the name. And I tell you, the presence of the Lord's never changed. The power of the Lord's never changed. The message of the Lord's never changed. It's never changed. And people talk about this man's a great ministry and that man's a great ministry. None of them have. It's a ministry of Jesus Christ. That's the only one. And if it's not that, it's nothing. Is that the truth? It wasn't the acts of the apostles, really. It was the acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. Working and acting. They were made available, but they took the name and they went forward in the name. We really need a revelation in that name. I tell you, we're living well below our privileges. We were right in that name. When the early church took that name, and you know that the last church should be like the first church. Is that the truth? Well, the first church was a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church. So the last church should be the same. Thank God for it. Numbers 9, verse 16, 17. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. You know, the interesting truth about many of the Old Testament figures and sacred objects is that they somehow portray Jesus Christ. All of them do. When you look at these things, they portray the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother Isaac, 12 years of age, was fit to mention on Sunday that the Old Testament sacrifices covered sin and were re-offered every year, but Jesus Christ on the cross, once for all, takes away sin. By one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's the Bible. And he says, you're justified. And that means it's those you never done it in the first place. Now, he always knew you. He always knew you. You never got your name signed in the book on a certain date because people preach that, but that's not the Bible. It was always in there. You and me might not knew it, but God did. And the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and your name was in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. For he says in Romans and all them different scriptures, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. Some of us could have been on drugs. Some of us could have been in jail. And all sorts of things, but we were the Lord's, even though we didn't know it. That's the truth, man. Now, God in his mercy brought us to that place of repentance. For we repented because we could not save ourselves. Now, there's people preaching today that can save themselves. Did you know that? They're preaching that they could redeem their own selves. I call them false prophets. That's what they are. You cannot preach that. You could not save yourself. I'll tell you, not a chance of it. Could you save somebody else? I'll tell you what, if we can, we'll go down the town tonight and we'll convert the whole town. It's only the Lord that saves. And he's only one way of getting saved. And we know at the end time we have more light in this age than any other age, but the way of getting saved is still the same. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's only one name. One name whereby you can be saved, Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible uses typologies, metaphors, and other forms of figurative speeches to portray the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, we see the Lord. We know many times that the pillar of cloud and fire is mentioned as the angel of God who could be taken up or pre-existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. And when you go over into the New Testament, here's how it reads. All things were made by him and for him, and without him wasn't there anything made that's made. He is the beginning and creation of God. He was there. Amen. Exodus 14:19, on the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. How many's ever seen the deep calls to the deep? And where William Branham's standing, and he's waiting on something. And then after a while he says, well, he's here, and he takes every spirit under his control in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says to the people, the same angel of the covenant that led the children of Israel is here tonight. The same one. That's God showing himself that he's Hebrews 13 and 8. He is the same angel of the Lord, the same power of God. That's why the same things happened, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. It was real. I tell you, if it was the Lord that done it, the devil doesn't go about hurling healing campaigns, I can guarantee you that. Amen. A lot of people think the devil, you know, Jack Coe came to his pastor many years ago, and he said to his pastor, he says, I want to hold a healing campaign, Brother Larry. And his pastor said to him, he says, Brother Jack, what happens when nobody gets healed? And Jack Coe says, but what happens when they do get healed? So Jack Coe held his healing campaign, and he said he was praying for headaches and toothaches, nothing major. But there's a blind one on the end of the line. And he said he kept putting them to the back of the line, this blind person. And he said everyone he prayed for, he's praying for that blind person. And when the blind person come up to him, he says God spoke to them. For he was praying, Lord, help me. And the Lord said to him, Jack Cole, what made you think you could heal anybody? And he says, Lord, I can't. And he says, well, just let me do it then. Amen. And he prayed for the blind person. And they said, he said, can you see? And he says, I can see men moving like trees, like Jesus in the Bible. And he prayed again. And he says, I can see. I can see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, God's real. For Paul the Apostle, we know the pillar of fire was the Lord Jesus Christ. How many knows that? You want scripture for it? Our brother John preached about it in Australia, and he preached it here from the book of Acts. Paul was on the road to Damascus, and the bright light shone, and he come down on his horse, and he was blinded, actually. How many knows that? Because he had to get prayed for his eyes to open. This amazes me. You know, the thing about this that amazes me, I'm going to tell you, I've told it before, I'm going to tell it again. It's worth telling more than once. He meets the pillar of fire and he says, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus. He never said I'm the third person of the Trinity or the second. He says, I am Jesus. Amen. I am Jesus. And you know Paul had a conversion. How many believes he's converted there? But why is it that he never got the Holy Ghost at that point? But God visited another man. And he told him, Paul's coming here. And you're going to have to pray for him. Amen? And Paul had to go. The Lord led him. And he went in to another man. And he laid his hands on him and prayed for him that his eyes might be opened and that he received the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, I know a lot of denominations say when he got saved, he got everything. Well, Paul didn't. And you know what the disciples in another place in the book of Acts, they said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you believed. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and everything. And he still asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we've not even heard of it. And they laid hands on them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. Now we know tongues is not the evidence, but it's a gift. It's our evidence. Amen. Just like prophecy, just like one of the other gifts. We know you have to receive the truth, we know that, but tongues is real. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, there's not near enough of tongues. There's been too much nonsense preached against gifts and against tongues. And I've even heard people preaching they're up on the shelf. Well, I have news for people that preach gifts are on the shelf. Get yourself a sledgehammer and smash the shelves. Because you don't need them up on it, you need to use them. Amen. What would you keep a gift for and not use it? Amen. That's like having a Rolls Royce in the garage, and you look at it now and again. What a load of nonsense. You need to get it out and get into it and drive it. Amen. That's what it's for. Amen. You hear people saying, you know, when you brothers know you can search this, but I'm going to tell you it anyhow. I like telling things that pricks some people up sometime to go and search it. Man said William Branham had a great car and he never used it. He's afraid of going visiting people in his dear car. Somebody bought him a nice car. Well, there's over 100,000 miles on it. So somebody drove it. Amen. He used it certainly. That's the truth. So you see, sometimes people say things, but you need to read all of it. You need to get the full story. You need to get the full account. It's not the truth. Now I'm going to close in a moment. My time's gone. Paul met this pillar for Acts 9, verse 3 to 5, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Who said he was Jesus? The Lord. Amen. And there's only one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Amen? Thank God there's one Lord. There's people preach two Lords. I know people that preach two Lords and they preach two souls. Now, there's no Bible for it. That's the thing about it. This here's the absolute right here in this pulpit. It's called the Bible. That's what we're working with. It's called a sure foundation. Paul the Apostle said, let no other man build in any other foundation than the one that's already been laid. Anything else is wood, hay, and stubble. Well, if you have two lords, which Lord are you going to worship? I thank God I have one Lord. Amen. He's the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible says, who art you, Lord? I am Jesus. Amen. What about Isaiah 9, verse 6? Emmanuel, God with us. Praise God. Let me read you this and then I'm going to come to close. To me, it was the same God that led the children of Israel by the pillar of fire. We all know that that was the Logos, the angel of the covenant, which was Christ, that led the children of Israel. Christ declared it to be so. He said he was I am that was in the burning bush, and he was a rock that was in the wilderness. The pillar of fire was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And when he was here, he said, I come from God and I go back to God. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, and when he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, he had again the same Logos and the pillar of fire manifest himself. And remember, Paul said, who is it, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. The same one. That's a revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a simple statement, but it's too deep for some people. That's the truth now. It's simple, but yet it's deep. Because it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And as you go on with God, God unfolds himself to you. More and more and more. There's an unfolding of God. And it's not like an apple, you peel the skin and that's it. You can't do it up that with God. When you get them all figured out, you've missed it. More or less. What I'm trying to say is you can't figure God all out. God can do things that you'll never dream about. Because he's supernatural. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you don't change. And you don't change your mind about your word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray this evening, Lord, that you'll cause a hunger and a thirst to come on every one of us for more of you. More of that same Holy Ghost. More of your presence. An unction from above. Take us deeper, higher. Empty us of ourselves and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray. Lord, I pray you'll bless everyone in this room tonight. And think of all our children. You'll save every one of them. Every boy, every girl, we claim the token on every one of them tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you for the wives and those that couldn't be here tonight in the service. Lord, I pray you'll bless them. I pray you'll be with them. Bless those that's nurses amongst us or work in the hospital or anywhere like that. Lord, bless them. And Lord, we do pray for those in authority that you'll give them wisdom and guidance to rule your people in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Father, we ask you to commit it all to you tonight. Help us in the remainder of this service. Help us to seek your face. And Lord, I pray for young Elijah. Bless him, anoint him, visit him with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one.